welcome to Inside Education. Our website is insideed.com. I'm Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. On this week's programme, we'll be hearing from the General Secretaries of our three teaching unions as they prepare for their 2013 conferences which take place this week. I've been speaking to Pat King of the ASTI, Sheila Noonan of the INTO and John McGowan of the Teachers Union of Ireland, the TUI. We'll begin with the ASTI. The 91st Annual Convention of the Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland will be held in White's Hotel, Wexford, from Monday the 1st of April to Thursday the 4th of April 2013. I spoke to Pat King, who is the General Secretary of the ASTI, and I began by asking him what the main issues for ASTI members would be at this year's convention.
A big issue, of course, and Congress will be dominated by the public service pay proposals. I suppose 6 months ago we mightn't have predicted that this would be the case, but that has certainly emerged. 6 months ago we were predicting that the major issue would be the proposals to change the junior cycle programme, and we've concentrated very much on that over the past number of months. But since Christmas, public pay has dominated and the public service pay talks has dominated the industrial relations scene. So I suspect they will be the dominant issues.
You're obviously calling for a no vote for the Croke Park 2 proposals, but if they are accepted, what impact will they have on students?
Well, it's an interesting way of putting the question. We do not think they'll be accepted. I mean, our recommendation to our members is to vote no. And the reason we're recommending a no vote is because that's what our members are saying through their elected representatives. They're saying to us that public servants have suffered enough, they've given enough, we've adhered religiously to the requirements of Croke Park 1. I think the important effect it will have on students is an indirect one. Teachers' morale is hugely important for students. It's hugely important that teachers are comfortable in their work, are fully committed to their work, feel appreciated in their work. And as pay is being cut, as resources are being withdrawn, as conditions are worsening, year on year, teachers' morale is suffering, and indirectly students will suffer as a result.
As a union leader, what can you do to help raise teachers' morale?
It's the business of trade unions to represent the best interests of their members. And it is in the best interests of our members that there's a good education system. And that's why the ASTI, which is a trade union and a professional association, we're concerned not only with our working conditions, but also with standards of education. We concentrate a lot on both. And they go hand in hand. A well-resourced education service, well-resourced schools, a good education system is to the benefit of students and teachers and parents. We're all together in this.
The other big issue you said this year is junior cert reforms. What are the priorities of your members on those?
Children and students are ever-changing, and therefore the education, the way we communicate it, what we teach, the subjects, what we learn, it must change with students as they develop and change. And it must keep pace. But keeping pace, in our view, is the way to do it. You change continuously, but gradually. Last October, the minister announced the ending of the junior cert exam as we know it, and replaced it with a school assessment system, without a word of consultation, without engagement with teachers, without asking the practitioners what they thought. We were quite stunned by that, and there were many amongst our membership who said, we got to bin these proposals, they're just unacceptable.
But weren't your members represented on the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment?
Our members, we have two members on the NCCA. There are just two in a large body, I think, of about 25 people. And there are many interests represented on the NCCA. But the interesting thing about the minister's announcement is he totally ignored the NCCA. The NCCA proposals were for the continuation of the junior cycle terminal exam at the end of third year. The minister went in a totally different direction. So, yes, we were engaged with the NCCA, but there was not one word of engagement with the minister on his proposals, which were totally different to what the NCCA were proposing.
So what do you want the minister to do now?
I described it as the minister is in danger now of losing the dressing room, as they say about Trapattoni. I respect the minister. He, I believe, is a reforming minister and he wants the best for education. I give him that. But he has to stop, hold it, and think and talk. And talk to real teachers, real educators. If you like, get down and dirty and talk to teachers in their staff rooms and in their classrooms about what will work.
Is the biggest concern of your members to do with the assessment changes or has it to do with the changes of courses?
We engaged in a consultation process with our members and out of the 500 schools, 300 staffs sat down, consulted, read the framework document, put together their thoughts and sent them into us. Some of them were 10, 15 pages long. We compiled all of these and out of that we got the real truth of what teachers were thinking. And what they were saying to us, they are extremely worried that the standards in education may fall. They are concerned that the proposals will lead to a drop in standards because you won't have the incentive, if you like, of an external end of third year state examination. Tell me they're wrong, but this is the view of the practitioners. Collectively, they believe that students need end of third year independent, objective assessment of their work. They're also concerned that the changes at junior cert will not appropriately lead in to Leaving Cert and that students won't be appropriately prepared for the Leaving Cert and for the serious challenges of the Leaving Cert when they get there. That there isn't a planned coordination between the two programmes. That students will almost have to learn again and change tack after the junior cycle is over and try to approach learning in a totally different manner when it comes to Leaving Cert.
What's your main achievement in the last 12 months?
Well, like every other trade union and organisation, I'm afraid it's about keeping the finger in the dike and holding back the water and trying to protect what we have. Now, we would claim some success in that we did convince the minister not to cut dramatically the pupil or worsen the pupil teacher ratio and thereby lose more teachers, and we welcomed that when the budget was announced that there weren't further across the board cuts in the pupil teacher ratio. We feel that our views on the junior cycle, our consultation, is a job well done. For the first time ever, we have a compilation of all the views of teachers put together in a very coherent, impressive fashion. It'll be a work, a study that will be looked back on in 20, 30 years' time of what teachers think about education. I think that was an achievement this year. The Croke Park discussions have dominated, but we did in the Croke Park discussions highlight the plight of young teachers who are on lower pay, worse conditions, temporary contracts. We did highlight that and we did bring that to public attention and efforts were made to improve their plight, and we have a lot of work to do in that yet.
And that was Pat King, General Secretary of the ASTI, in conversation with me earlier this week. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website insideed.com. Next, we turn our attention to the Primary Teachers Union. The INTO's 145th Congress takes place in the Silver Springs Hotel in Cork from Monday to Wednesday this week. I met up with the General Secretary of the INTO, Sheila Noonan, during the week, and I first asked her to sum up the main issues for INTO members at this year's Congress.
It's interesting that the first motion on the agenda this year is actually a taxation motion, not an education motion. That doesn't mean there isn't a link between the taxation motion and education, but I think the standing orders rightly have allowed this debate, this very important debate, to take place, because I think it underpins all the future financing of education. It's kind of addressing the inequalities in our society, the unequal distribution of wealth. But I think it is interesting, and I think it does reflect the concerns about where we are with the austerity programme, where it is, and what really needs to be done across society, not just by individual teacher unions, to ensure that education is put on a footing. You'll be aware in recent years that INTO, through Irish Congress of Trade Unions, have been supporting the Nevin Economic Research Institute. They're doing some superb work in articulating an alternative to the current economic policies. And in advance of the last budget, there was a taxation policy forwarded to government. We've decided to take that to our members to strengthen the endorsement of trade unions around this particular proposal. So it covers looking for more equitable, progressive taxation measures, not just on income but on wealth. It's demanding that government, instead of focusing always on expenditure cuts and cuts to services, that they should rebalance it in favour of more revenue-raising measures. Talks about a top rate of income tax for earners over 100,000, about effective taxation rates, about wealth taxes, about tax residency, about property, a fair and progressive property tax, and financial transaction tax. So it's really trying to open up that debate amongst members, that that the balance has been very much around cut. And we cannot sustain public services. Nobody is denying that there is an issue around the budgetary arithmetic. But I think what public servants are saying, look, you know, you keep coming after our pockets, you keep coming after the services we provide. And while we accept there's a number of people, you know, out there without work or indeed underemployed, there's also a fair share of our society that are not paying their fair share. And that's grossly unfair. And that's where this particular motion is targeting. Other than that, then, we have a series of other motions, including issues to do with staffing in schools, particularly concerns about our colleagues in the smaller schools who feel that that we haven't made sufficient progress in trying to overturn recent government decisions on smaller schools, resourcing for special education, funding of education has reappeared as a very significant issue. Everything from simple running costs of schools, you know, to greater funding and investment costs. They'd be the top ones in you know, for the opening sessions.
And you haven't mentioned Croke Park too.
Well, that's not to suggest, I mean, that's quite clearly the elephant in the room. I haven't mentioned it, and that you'd be aware our organisation is in the middle of a balloting process. It's clearly a set of proposals that has generated a huge amount of debate within schools. INTO has taken a decision to send that out without a recommendation. We've run a series of information meetings. No, it's central. I mean, people are completely anxious, but they are in the middle of a balloting process. A number of those ballots have been returned already, but it doesn't conclude till after Congress. So we're very mindful of the integrity of the balloting process and fairness to people.
If it is accepted by teachers, what kind of an impact will it have on students?
I think people are familiar with the proposals. I mean, there's consequences to a yes vote and consequences to a no vote. The consequences to a yes vote are very clear in terms of the impact on people's pay, the loss of the supervision allowance, the particular impact in relation to our members. We have quite a number of them who are earning over 65,000 who will take a hit on their pay. In respect of their working conditions, there is a proposal that there will be an increased liability for substitution. And that will impact on teachers about providing cover for absent colleagues. Now, the department have agreed that they will be phased in. So the initial part of that is the uncertified sick leave cover. Currently, primary teachers cover the first day of uncertified sick leave. And of course, uncertified sick leave has reduced significantly. It's now 7 days overruling 2 year periods.
Is there a risk, do you think, that Croke Park 2 and the ballot and the debate around that could be divisive, given that for teachers with more experience, they tend to they stand to lose more than teachers who are beginning, who actually tend to gain a little bit more?
Well, I think, I'm not sure I would use the word divisive. I think it certainly has been, there is a proportionality in it that you know, you can see people on both sides. I mean, I'm being careful in my response quite clearly because we have very deliberately issued this without recommendation. I think obviously the younger, we have a very clear policy in relation to try to redress the inequalities that occurred in 2011 and 2012 around young teachers. So there was an objective there to try to ensure that they were protected from further cuts in relation to that, and we are pleased that there is an equalisation. I think the issue at the other end of the spectrum in respect of our principal teachers, who feel that the pressure they're under in terms of in their workplaces already without support has been exacerbated now by a proposal of cut in salary there, because I think they feel that you know, is already adding to kind of the perception of the job and the value that is attached to the job. However, it's a negotiated process. There's a set of proposals there. At the end of the day, these proposals will be determined by members. And as I said at the outset, there are consequences to voting yes. There are consequences to voting no. But we all have to look very hard at the alternatives. And I think ultimately that's where the debate will centre around at our conference. In the absence of negotiated proposals, what alternatives can we put in front of members that can either result in, less damage than what people might perceive from these proposals, or indeed ensure that not a greater amount of pay hit might accrue.
What will you say to the Minister for Education and Skills when he visits?
We really want the Minister just to step back and look at what, in his enthusiasm for reform, how the capacity of schools to do that is made almost impossible through a lack of resources.
And when you mention lack of resources, is there anything in particular that has been hit in the last year that you're concerned about?
Well, if you take infrastructure, and that's, the buildings, the summer works grants, the minor works grants, those, that's very problematic. We have a huge stock of schools, 3,200 schools in varying sizes, and they rely largely on those kinds of grants. With unemployment, there's obviously less voluntary contribution coming in, so that kind of funding, number one. There's a time resource in relation to principal teachers and teaching principals in particular. Teaching principals having insufficient release time to carry out their duties, both teaching and administrative principals just not having enough support administratively, I think, to carry out their functions. Professional development support for teachers, referring back to initiatives that are coming along, not just giving the proper support time and training to people to do that. And then any amount of shortage of resources, I suppose, to put in the means to implement the curriculum in the way that it should.
In terms of positive news for members in general at the conference, anything in particular strike you?
Well, it's possibly, from my perspective, going to be the most challenging, teachers' conference. And I think that's understandable given the level of, as I say, combination of anger and frustration of people finding themselves 4 or 5 years into a recession without necessarily sharing the view that government would often say that there is an end in sight. I think, in a sense, I think that the INTO still remains a very strong union. It remains, it'll have good internal robust debate. It remains very determined, I think, to campaign and to fight on a range of issues. I think that's very important. I think situations like this can demoralise people to an extent where they don't want to participate. I think the opposite is the case in terms of the INTO. And I think it's really good to see that our 160 branches up and down the country are still bringing forward motions, not just on their own paying conditions, but as ever, complete advocates for, disadvantage, special needs, all of these important issues that plays a really important role in pushing out those issues for the community that they serve in Irish society in general.
And that was Sheila Noonan, General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation. Finally this week, we turn to the Teachers Union of Ireland. Their annual congress will be held in the Clayton Hotel in Galway from Tuesday to Thursday this week.
I met up with the General Secretary of the TUI, John McGowan, before the result of this week's union ballot on Croke Park 2 was announced. Members overwhelmingly rejected the proposals, as expected. I began our conversation by asking John McGowan to summarise the main issues for TUI members at the 2013 Congress.
Well, I suppose looming over the Congress is the very obvious and central issue of the union's response to the Croke Park 2 public service proposals. The executive recommended to members that they reject the proposals. So at least a significant portion of our Congress will then be given over to strategising with members in terms of what happens next.
If the proposals of Croke Park 2 are accepted more generally, what kind of an impact could that have on students?
Well, if they are accepted more generally, that would be through the mechanism of the Public Services Committee of Congress, which meets on the 17th of April. Again, this is conjecture at the moment, but on the assumption that the members of TUI vote against, we will vote against the acceptance of the proposals at that meeting. If at that meeting there is a plurality in favour of accepting the proposals, we will be advising Congress, advising the Public Services Committee, that the members of TUI will not feel bound by changes that are imposed in terms of conditions. Government has said that it will legislate for pay cuts. It may do so, but our view is that government should be challenged, and that the specific challenge should be that government should be invited, rather than going the way it has gone about this, it should be invited instead to use the general taxation system to address what undeniably is, if you like, a very significant fiscal and economic problem.
One element in the proposals, they are balanced in favour of younger, less experienced teachers rather than older teachers. Is that something that you would see as a positive at all?
Well, I don't believe that they are balanced in favour of younger, less experienced teachers. Almost uniquely among public servants, younger teachers and lecturers will actually experience a very significant pay loss at the lower end of the pay scale. That arises because in respect of second level teaching, they will lose the substitution and supervision allowance. And in respect of third level lecturers, whom we also represent, they will lose examination payments that up to now they have received. They will lose those payments at a level of salary which is protected in respect of other public servants. So there is actually a discriminatory process involved here that puts teachers and lecturers very much on the back foot and treats them exceptionally and exceptionally badly. There has been some small move to begin the process of bringing those who have come into teaching and lecturing on lower pay scales in the last 2 years towards the pay scale of those who were in the profession before that. It is welcome. It is, however, a very, very small move. And it does not, in spite of statements to the contrary in the public press, equalise pay scales. It simply does not do that. And that's a matter of mathematics. So while welcome, it is not in itself sufficient to overturn the direct pay hit that these people will suffer. There is another matter that is of critical importance to us and will feature very prominently at our Congress in respect of recent entrants to teaching and lecturing. And by recent, I mean people who have come in the past 8 years or so. It is that the very, very great majority of them are casualised. They have not come in on permanent contracts. They have come in on fixed term, that is part-time contracts. They are vulnerable from year to year. They have no certainty. They have no creditworthiness. They can't engage meaningfully in the economy. And they can't, for that matter, and perhaps from an educational point of view, more significantly, they can't fully commit to the schools or higher education institutions in which they're employed. Because, quite frankly, they are living in income poverty and have to supplement that income. by whatever means are available to them. So we have in the membership of TUI at this point in the region of 30% of our members in part-time positions. The vast majority of those are also in fixed term, that is non-permanent work. And that is a crisis that is developing apace for the education system, and we would submit as well for the quality of the service provided to students.
What will you be saying to the Minister for Education and Skills when he addresses the conference?
Well, first of all, we are, as we are every year, you know, pleased that the Minister of the day comes to address the conference. And we consider that there is a democratic imperative served by that. And we respect the role that the Minister has. And we also fully respect the right of the Minister to demur from some points we might put to him. Equally, we will demur from points that he may put to us. We will speak to the President. And I think the issue of the discriminatory treatment of teachers and lecturers in terms of the public service agreement to our proposals, phase two, that will obviously come up. The issue of casualisation that I've just mentioned will come up as well. There are issues to do with pupil-teacher ratio that very clearly as well are going to come up in debate. And most recently, through budget, the Minister has applied a 2-point increase to the pupil-teacher ratio for PLC courses, the effect of which will be to cause some of those courses to have to cease. Courses that are viable, courses for which there are students, courses, in fact, in some instances, that are in very high demand, but they simply will not be able to run on the basis of the staffing ratios that will now be put in place. And there will also very obviously be a significant debate about the proposals for junior cycle change. We are in favour of, and have always been in favour of, the enhancement and improvement of curriculum in a manner that takes account of the necessities of the time, but also that at every point in time prioritises quality. Our concern at the moment is that if state certification in some shape or form is completely abandoned, that you could have very, very, you could have a drift downwards in terms of quality, or you certainly could have inequities coming to be more in evidence because of the differential level of resources available to schools at different stages and different parts of the system.
And that was John McGowan, General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland, previewing this year's annual TUI Congress. Well, that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on InsideEd.com or on iTunes. You can email me at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to this week's guests, Sheila Noonan of the INTO, Pat King of the ASTI and John McGowan of the TUI. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening. Thank you.